Blog Talk Radio. Cindy Sansom Braff, author of Grant Me a Higher Love, How to Go from the Relationship from Hell to One That's Heaven Sent by Scaling the Ladder of Love. That's a big title. It's a big book. Love's a big topic. The music you heard at the beginning of the show is called Eagerly Pleased, composed with love by my nephew, Miles Sebastian. I'm a woman on a mission, and that mission is to have you and everyone else have the best love life possible in this new millennium. But before this can happen, you're going to have to learn a few new tricks. Joining me tonight, as always, is my producer and co-host, Nicole. Nicole's a beautiful young woman, a writer, an entrepreneur, and a lesbian, not necessarily in that order, and she's here to share her love stories and more stories with us. She's the voice that will make all of us women stop blaming everything on the opposite sex, since Nicole and those women are making some of the same kinds of mistakes in their relationships with each other. Now, I didn't have much time to talk to Nicole before the show because she's been running crazy, and, of course, I was running behind, as always, today. This has been a crazy week. The teacher's off in New York. I mean, every teacher wants a reading this week. I don't know if they think they fall off the face of the earth when they go back to school, but it's been a lot of readings. Nicole, what's been happening in your world?
Same old, Cindy. Nothing really new on my end. You know, we're just continuing to push forward with, you know, the three stores now. And, you know, just a lot of work is going into it. A lot of time is going into it. I'm very, very tired. And that's about it, you know.
And you're having lots of passion without drama in your life, I hope, in your love life.
Lots of what drama in my life?
A lot of passion without drama.
Absolutely, yes. Everything personally is going magnificently, so yes.
Oh, that's the best news ever. And now I can see we've already have a lot of callers, so if you want to jump in.
What about you?
Oh, well, things are pretty good. The number one psychic from Long Island Press has been causing quite an explosion here, like thousands of emails and phone calls. And, of course, I have no office staff, so I'm backed up all the time, and I'm just asking people to be patient because I do eventually get back to everybody. And, you know, the book has been selling very well, The Grant Me a Higher Love, which I'm glad because that's really my mission here on Earth. And I am moving April 1st, so we've got the big move on the horizon. Yes, we're moving to a house in East Patchogue.
Good for you, Cindy.
I manifested the exact house that I wanted. Those who don't believe
again,
in the laws of attraction, I did manifest the exact house, the exact price.
This is the second time that you've done this.
And let me tell you, this happened almost.
You manifested your the place where you are now.
Right.
You manifested TJ.
Exactly.
And now you're manifesting a place for you and TJ.
Right, and it's funny because I saw the house that I wanted in my mind's eye and the price, and the little story behind it is that when I went there to see it, I said, okay, this is my house, and because I'm an old lady now and I didn't want to really take on a mortgage at this stage in my life, I seem to have enough money almost to pay cash for it, but I have to wait for my parents' house to sell and my little share of it. So I said, okay, let me go to the bank and get a mortgage. And those of you who are self-employed can relate to this. Banks and self-employed people, they have problems with us, no matter how good our credit rating is and things like that. So it was going to cost me $12,000 to borrow $60,000 for very few months. And in my mind, I heard a little word called usury. Now, I haven't thought of that word since I was in college, and they taught us that the cause of World War II was usury. That was excessive interest rates charged by banks. So I said, no, I can't agree to that. I can't agree that's just an excessive amount of money. You haven't given me a dime in 2 years on my money, so I don't think that I'm going to give it. And I walked out, and they said, well, you're going to lose your house then. And so I called the real estate agent, and I said, well, I guess I have to lose this house. I just can't believe it. 2 weeks later, the owner of the house, an old Italian man, said, I will give you a banknote for 3 years. and you'll pay me as soon as you get the money from your parents, or you can take 3 years to pay. How do you like that?
Wow.
Did I not manifest it exactly the way that I wanted?
100% you did.
And that's the laws of attraction, and that's how they work. They're almost instantaneous if you believe in that. Now,
that is the laws of attraction at its best.
And also because, you know I work a lot of hours, so I don't have time to fool around with stuff. So you have to bring it to me or it's not happening.
Pretty much. That is true.
And that'll happen to you more in your life, too, if you believe in, you know, you're working hard, you're doing what you need to do, and the universe has to cooperate a little bit. Now, Nicole, did you screen any caller yet or no?
Not yet.
Okay, so I'm just going to let you go to the first caller. I think it's California.
Okay, we're just going to shoot over to number one, and then I'm going to dip out and go into the chat room and get you all queued up here, Cindy. Hello, you are on the air.
Hello.
Hi, this is
Hello?
Cindy.
Hi, how are you?
Good, and we're great here in New York, and you're calling from California?
Yes, I am. I'm calling from the Bay Area.
Oh, how nice. And your name is?
My name is Gillian.
Okay, and did you have something you wanted to share with us or a question you wanted to ask? Because I'm sure you've been waiting on the line a little while, so I'm sure you have something important.
Yeah, you know, I lost my job last week, and I'm looking at it as a good thing, but I was wondering mm-hmm. what you saw coming up for me.
And I'm glad that you're seeing it as all good, because sometimes the universe takes a job from us that we haven't been all that happy with anyway.
Yeah.
And most people tend to, like the devil, they know they will stay too long. What I see for you is you are definitely going to get a new job. But do you want to be doing the same thing you did before? Because it looks like you're going to be offered some other things as well. So what have you been doing in the past?
It's mostly administration. I was doing legal assistant work for a family law firm when I got let go.
And would you like to still be in law?
You know, it's interesting. It's not a passion, but I like helping people, you know, and it was fun learning. That's what I like to do. I like to learn.
Okay, because what's been channeled to me is in this new millennium, people are going to have 2 to 5 entirely different careers. And it depends on us being able to reinvent ourselves, and you have the right attitude. I like to learn. And most of the time we're going to land eventually in a place where we really want to be, but it's building on all the different skills that we've acquired. So it looks as if you're going to be learning something a little bit different here, but that you're going to really like it. Try to keep your moods in check, because it looks like you're a little bit having some extremes of moods, one day happy about it, one day like really sad.
Yeah.
It doesn't help when we get in those moods because, you know, we get negative, we get pessimistic. And again, I don't want people to keep saying it's a bad economy. And that's pretty much why I told my little story about the house that I just manifested. The universe cooperates with us. They know what we want. They know what we need. And, you know, a bad economy, there are still many, many jobs that need to be done as much as in a good economy. So for you, I really do see a better job. Do you not have a relationship right now?
No, I don't.
Because I see this, because your cards are an alignment that usually shows someone who's now taken from a job they had, but the universe needs to bring you in alignment with your soulmate, so they need to get you out of where you are to meet this other person. And so what I see here is love coming with this new job, and like a permanent kind of marriage. Are you wanting that in your life?
Yes, I am, actually. I am.
Because it's marriage and it's you being a mom and really happy things in the future, but it did depend on getting you out of the spot that you were. So trust in divine timing. Trust that the job that you get is linked to you. You're either going to make some new friends there who will then introduce you to this person, or it could come just that person works at this particular job, but your whole life's about to change, and they're really good changes. So if you could, you know, I wish you could see your cards, because there's not a bad card here other than the moodiness that you might be experiencing. You also have a right to be a little bit angry because I don't think the people you work for were being totally honest with you and that they could have given you some warning. It appears they actually pretty much lied to your face. I mean, I think you maybe suspected this job might be in trouble, but they were kind of telling you, don't worry.
Yeah, they did. They I mean, they gave me 5 days, but he knew at least 2 or 3 months in advance, and he was just kind of hoping things would look up, but it just,
and again, he should have warned you because it would have given you some sense that, you know, let me keep my eyes open. Let me think of where I might want to be in jobs, you know, like 3 months from now if this has to end. So you have a right to be a little bit angry, a little bit disappointed. They look like they're going to give you a very good recommendation. So that's something positive here. But again, it looks like this job will be a little more creative than the one you did in the past. So I think you're going to really love what's going to be happening in your life. So if you could just hang in there. Don't take the first job that comes along. So the universe usually will bring us, if we're ready to settle for something, you know, a man to fit a plan if we're desperate to get married, a job that just sort of, you know, pays the bills if we're so frantic right now. But you really want more of a career, don't you?
Yes, I do.
And that's what's here. And helping people, that is something very important. If you have administrative skills and you can help people, there's many, many, many things in this economy. It's, you know, even the companies that are, you know, trying to get people to get back on their feet financially. You know, there's plenty of those jobs out there. So try to think, what do people need most? And, you know, so many people I know with financial skills are out of work. And I said, why don't you start your own companies where you're helping people know a little bit more about finances and dealing with banks and things like that. So looks a little bit like the economy is going to work in your favor with this job. So I really want you to just be really positive and optimistic and, you know, keep your eyes open and go in with interviews, you know, bringing your best foot forward.
Yeah, I have an interview tomorrow, but I'm not quite sure about it.
It's okay. You need to hone your interview skills, too. So, you know, even look at it as an exercise in an interview skill. So, you know, if you're not quite sure, it doesn't matter. Also, just go in with an open mind. And, you know, sometimes things surprise us. We're not sure we want them, but it could be something very good. It looks a little bit down the line for a job, not like tomorrow, but not too far down the line also.
8 months or weeks? Or?
It looks like by the time the weather starts getting really warm, you should be pretty settled in what you're doing. So, you know, for you in California, that's probably sooner than it would be for us here. But maybe 2 months. You know, it could be sooner than that, but don't get discouraged.
Okay.
Use the time to know yourself and rest a little bit.
I know. I'm having a hard time with it. I'm like, okay, you have to do this. You have to clean your house. You have all this time. You need to be doing something.
And again,
you know,
stop with the pig parent in us that tells us we should do this, we should do that. This is a blessing from God. When we're out of work, it's a few weeks in life or months that we actually can indulge in. Let's relax a little too. Look at it as a gift. You know, most of our life we spend working. So if, you know, you get a little time off, you know, clean your house, do that. You know, it's nice because you'll be ready for when your job comes. But also do something you love to do because it'll recharge your energy and it'll make you more positive and look a little better and be more confident. So try to also have some fun. It's okay for us to have fun. You know,
okay.
One of the things that was channeled to me is we're going to answer to God for the joy in life we didn't take. You have a little time off. Enjoy.
Will this job be something that's going to be hard for me to come by, or will it?
No, it looks like it's going to pretty much manifest when you figure out what it is you want to do. You know, when you're a little bit more specific what you might want to do. So start thinking if in the ideal world what your ideal job would be like, and then watch it manifest. Again, it is dealing with people here, though. I see definitely your skills are with people.
Okay.
Well, good luck to you. And please call in and let us know when you get your job because we like to hear people telling us the good things that manifest today. I got a wonderful call from one of my clients. She had been told she couldn't have a baby. And I spoke to her about a year ago saying, oh, you know, funny enough, you know, God's telling me, why don't you just go home and make love to your husband? You'd be surprised. She just gave birth to a little baby boy today.
So aww.
That's the kind of things I like to hear. And I didn't even know she was pregnant. She hadn't even shared it with me. She just waited till everything was, you know, everything was all okay.
I will call once I get that job and meet my husband. You will definitely be the first person to know.
I can't wait to hear. Well, thank you for calling in.
Thank you. Can I ask you one more quick
sure.
question? I'm sorry. Just quick. Will I be okay financially?
Yes, that's what I'm telling you. Try not to obsessively worry about it. You can use this as a time, and our listeners out there also who are in a similar boat, because there's a lot of unemployed people, use this time as a way to figure out how you can save some money, how you can cut costs. You'd be surprised
okay.
how much money we throw away.
Yeah.
And if in the two or three months or four months we're unemployed, we figure out ways to save money, you're going to have a lot more money in the future. So just, you know, you're going to be fine financially. Just manage your money and, job hunt. But in between, don't obsess because, you know, worry has become almost a talisman. Our ancestors thought, you know, they survived because they worried. And all the easygoing people died off because they didn't worry. No, the easygoing, lazy people died because they were lazy, not because they didn't worry. Excessive worry does not prevent anything, nor does it make anything better.
That's one of the reasons I don't want to tell my mom either, because I know she's probably not going to help in any way.
No, she's
going
to make your worrying worse. So in a way, not telling her this is probably a good thing, because you don't want her to plug into your fears.
Yeah, that's what
I'm
afraid of.
Worry. So please use this as a time to master your worry, to realize worry doesn't do any good except if there's an immediate thing we need to worry about, you know, and take care of immediately at this moment. If you're looking, you know, sending out your resumes, looking for a job and doing your best and watching your money, that's all you can do. And then just, like, let go and let God a little bit. It is a lesson in let go, let God. And, you know, most of us spend way too much time worrying about money. And those people, I talk to the dead all the time. Most of them said, look, if you're hardworking, you don't have to worry about money. Something will manifest and you'll be okay. So good luck to you and, you know, get some rest too.
Thank you so much.
Bye.
Bye-bye.
Okay, Nicole. I know Nicole's also making dinner while she's doing this radio show. It's okay with me. I don't pay her, so, you know, I can't tell her not to make dinner. But anyway, my dear, did you screen anybody?
I did, of course.
And what are you making for dinner that you didn't invite me over, by the way?
I actually just threw a whole bunch of leftovers into a pan. And, you know, just have... Yeah, just basically like some turkey meat and, you know, like some mixed vegetables, a little bit of pasta.
Oh, it sounds very good.
It
very
is.
Good. Sounds very good.
A little bit of white wine in there. It's good.
Oh, good. Well, I'm glad that you're enjoying it. And did you screen
it? Oh, no, I didn't cook it for me.
You cooked it for Lisa.
Yeah.
Oh, I know, but I'm saying, well, you have to enjoy some of it.
I haven't eaten anything yet. I can't eat and be on the air.
Oh, okay. But you're going to eat some after the show, right?
No, I didn't make any for myself.
Oh, well, that's why I didn't call into 2 minutes before the show, because I had to eat.
There you go, you see? No, I'm gonna make something for myself after the show. She just has to get out of here, so,
okay,
we have to feed her before she leaves.
Good. All right, so our next caller is calling from where, do you know?
Okay, the next caller, we are going to go to Irene, who is calling from New Jersey. And she says that she has a new musical guardian angel, and basically she's in music, and she's got her first live stream tonight for her new album. Basically, you know, she wants to know, you know, what's in store for her, Cindy.
Oh, this is my Irene, who I love. Okay.
Oh, is it now?
Yes, it is. First of all, Irene.
Let's say hello, shall we?
Sure.
Hello, Irene. You're on the air.
Hello.
Hi, Irene. Could you tell us your whole name? Because Irene is a fantastic singer. She's gorgeous, and she's going to make it very big in the music industry. So if you don't mind sharing your full name with people, I think they're going to say they heard
it
first here.
Irene Merring.
Right. And tell us about your live stream at 9 o'clock tonight.
Tonight, actually, I'm a little bit nervous. I'm streaming live for the first time. I'm going to be in the studio, and I've been working on a completely new record, completely new direction musically, and really just like going down to the core of like who and what I am as an artist, and you know what I am as a human being, and like this is really like the direction that I've always wanted to go in. So I'm debuting some of the songs tonight, and I'm nervous about it. I don't, you know, because this album is so personal to me that, you know, I'm just nervous about it.
Okay,
so
you're going to do wonderful. You did a lot of what you've done has been channeled to you, as well as using your own skills, you know, and gifts. So this is, mm-hmm. you know, really something that the universe is anxious to hear. It's going to end your life as you know it, because you're really going to start flying with this. And, you know, older souls are not very good at promoting themselves and are sometimes have too much humility. And they also have an imposter complex in which they oftentimes, you know, worry, am I really that good? And they do tend to get stage fright, which is a good thing. And let it, like, all I can tell you is you're going to do wonderfully here. These are wonderful cards, and you're really, you have worked hard and put your heart and soul in it and, you know, give of yourself. And don't worry about the outcome. Just, you know, perform your best that you can. I see a great, you know, love here. How's your love life going, Irene?
I actually took your advice. I decided to give it a shot with my soulmate, and it's been awesome. Completely different than my last situation, 180 different, and so far it's been amazing. So.
Okay, and remember, can we share that you were a little bit afraid of committing to this, and you were a little
hugely
reluctant?
Afraid.
Okay, and
hugely
and
afraid.
And what? And she came to me with her soulmate, who is the most delightful, gorgeous, sexy, wonderful, intelligent man. I mean, like, why wouldn't she jump with 2 feet in it? I don't know. This is like, you know, a no brainer. But she needed to get a little guidance, and I'm so glad you did that, yeah. Because what I see here is that your soulmate love that you're having here is really helping you. You know, it's really a muse for creativity, soulmate love.
Yeah.
And you seem to be using it as such.
Mm-hmm.
I know you
definitely
channeled some of the pain from your last relationship.
Absolutely.
Okay,
absolutely.
So there's some suffering in this and some angst. But, you know, you're really a living testament that if you leave a toxic relationship, you get something better.
Absolutely.
And it's
100%.
Not easy. It takes a lot of courage, right? It took a lot of courage.
Oh, yeah, and it took a lot of time as well to get away from that situation and to break my bad habits of going down that soulmate road and really allowing myself to be happy.
And did you hear she used the word soulmate? She knew what he was. Even though her other love had started as a soulmate love, it really got toxic. And, you know,
right.
Irene's an old soul who's good to a fault, loyal to a fault, tries to fix, tries to, you know, be the best she can and see if it could have worked. But she did take my advice when I told her this man is not going to change. And,
yeah.
you know, she's given him, you know, everything, and now it's time to move on. So I just hope our listeners, like, have a time that, can you tell where we they can listen to this live stream, by the way? Because, you know,
it's going to be on ustream.com. Actually, if the link is on all of my pages, but the quickest way to get to the link is if you go to facebook.com/IreneMaringMusic,
and
right there
you
you'll
spell Irene for them. It's with an I-R-E-N-E.
I-R-E-N-E, yeah, and the last name is M as in Mary, E-R-R-I-N as in Nancy, G, kind of like herring, like the fish, but with an M, Maring. So it's Irene Maring Music, facebook.com/IreneMaringMusic, and on that page you'll see a link, you'll see the post where I'm, you know, advertising the show, the live stream, and there'll be a link on that page. And also it's on your Facebook as well. There's
right,
a link
you
on
put
there.
It on my Facebook, which is Cindy
yep.
Sansone Braff. So anybody who wants to hear it, I, you know, listen and then, you know, give some feedback. And again, Irene is a living testament that, you know, life can hand us, you know, a lemon, and we have to just start making some lemonade over here.
Yeah.
You know, we can
actually
only
have a quick question.
Sure.
I, you know, you were talking about manifesting before. I asked, you know, the, I guess you call them powers that be or higher powers. There was a specific music guy that I asked for, like someone who was deceased, who actually was when they were alive in their last life, like quite famous, someone I admire. Like I specifically asked for this person to be my guide because they're kind of the direction they went in is kind of the direction that I'm going in, and I do feel that there is a new guide around me. And I was wondering,
and you know
if
what?
You
it's funny because if you could see the card, there are two cards with someone guiding. They both have the infinity sign above it, and it's strength, and you are being guided by that person. And anybody
awesome.
Who's a creative person, when I wrote my book, Grant Me a Higher Love, I channeled Carl Jung, and I began to realize that I was channeling somebody phenomenal, and I was like, why don't you reveal yourself to me? And he said, okay, I'll give you that quote. And the quote was, one good tarot reading is worth 20 years of therapy. And when I Googled it, it was Carl Jung. And
wow.
He helped me phenomenally write my book. And there's no reason you can't channel any, you know, Einstein, Beethoven, anyone that you want to. They will gladly help you. Most of the time, they won't identify themselves unless you're specifically asking or you want to know. I just began to know that this is all work on collective unconsciousness that I had never studied, and there was no way that I was, you know, this was coming from somewhere, a source other than myself. So you definitely have that guide. And the more that we channel, most of our work gets channeled. Whenever I've written anything, I always say, who wrote this? Because I know I did it, but it was beyond anything I could have done without spirit guides. So I acknowledge my spirit guides. And you're going to start feeling that way, too. And when the art comes from muse and from channeling and higher above, that's when you won't have any trouble marketing it, because it's even greater than anything any human on earth could create. So keep channeling your muses. Well, good luck, and just have fun tonight.
Will do, will do. Thank you so much,
You're
Cindy.
Welcome,
Irene. Appreciate it.
Bye.
Thank you, Irene.
Bye.
Isn't she a doll?
Oh, she is.
Oh, my goodness. She has such a
and
voice,
And I wish
too.
Her the best of luck tonight.
She has a voice.
Yeah, I'm going to have to check her out after
oh
the show.
Oh, my God. Her voice
gonna have to
is phenomenal.
Check her out.
Her voice is phenomenal. Now, did you screen someone while we were doing that, Nicole?
Of course. Oh, we've got many people screened, Cindy. I'm all set up for tonight.
Oh, good. You're not just making dinner, huh?
No, I'm done making dinner. But I had screened, you know, while making dinner, I had still screened three people.
That's women.
See? I was good. All right. So we're going to go over to Liz right now out in Pennsylvania. And she's got a gentleman in her life, and she wants to know what you see ahead, because he's kind of been drifting in and out. So she wants to know, is there just going to be a friendship there? Is there going to be a reunion?
Okay,
or is
Nicole,
there going to be something
can
else?
Can you just tell me, with the words you use, drifting in and out, what's your diagnosis here before I speak?
Commitment phobia. I'm getting good at this, Cindy. I'm going to have my own show.
God bless.
I'm gonna have my own show that's gonna counteract your show and send more callers to you. It's gonna say 101 excuses a day for commitment phobia, and then everybody's gonna come to you, whatever, to try to get rid of it. So there you go.
101 reasons why I'm afraid of love.
101 reasons why I'm afraid of love. Exactly.
So we have her All name right, is Liz. So, you said in Pennsylvania.
Her name is Liz out in Pennsylvania.
Okay.
Hello,
so
Liz. You're on the air.
Hi, how are you?
Hi, Liz. If you can hear, we're kind of like, when we hear the words drifting in and out.
Yeah.
Picture that out of the 45% of the world offered soulmate love, because not all love is created equal, 45%, only 1% are keeping it. Mainly because of fear, and a lot of it is commitment phobia. Even people who've been married 20 years are often commitment phobics. They're really not committed, heart, soul, mind, and body. They've got one foot in the marriage, one foot out.
Yeah.
This man cares about you.
You think?
But, yeah, and if he didn't care about you so much, he wouldn't be drifting in and out. Sometimes the people who don't like you so much, you know, they hang around more. He's had his heart broken before. Are you aware of that?
Yeah, I guess.
And you have too?
Of course, yeah.
Okay, so sometimes people don't always start out as commitment phobics. They may have, you know, been really willing toward love, but then they've gotten hurt and, you know, then the fear kicks in. He's trying to walk away from this love a little bit because it does frighten him.
Hmm.
And how long have you been with him, by the way?
Well, this is the thing. I was with him 30 years ago. We were engaged years
ago. How many years
ago? 30 years ago.
Okay. Yes,
and then we kind of reunited. We found each other online, but it was really hot and heavy for about 3 months, a lot of phone calls, a lot of promises, and then when we met, it just kind of cooled off completely.
Okay.
It was just real weird.
Huh? Let me explain some of the things. First of all, you said 30 years.
30
years
ago.
Anybody who's read my book, Grant Me a Higher Love, relationships work in five-year cycles. 6 5-year cycles passed since you met him.
Yeah.
And then the universe brought him back to you. Both of you have been through a lot.
Oh, yeah.
You definitely had a soulmate connection here.
Mm-hmm.
And people can usually do the hot and heavy for about 3 months. That's like the prince that later becomes the beast, or, you know, people.
Yeah.
3 months, it
yeah.
seems to be the limit.
Yeah.
And then they can also do the long distance dance commitment, so phobics. As long as it's not in the same state, the same house, the same
place.
Oh,
yeah, definitely.
They're really
yeah.
good. Then when it's face to face, and believe me, he wasn't disappointed in you. It wasn't, you know, sometimes we think, oh, did I get old? Am I not sexy anymore? Did he, you know, we tend to think it's
oh, no, he made it clear. He made it clear that
he
was disappointed. No, he made it clear that he was disappointed. In fact, since I've seen him last, just to put it kindly, I've lost 45 pounds because of the comments he made.
But he wasn't disappointed in terms of the way you connected. He used it as almost an excuse to run from you.
Huh.
You know, that you were. He looked for the game of blemish. Okay, she's heavier now, so I don't have to love her anymore. That's very superficial. You're not the third rung on the ladder of love, very narcissistic, where any woman's interchangeable with another. He tried to make it like that. Now, of course, you've tried to be the best you and lost 45 pounds. I mean, has he seen you since then?
No, I'm tempted to send a picture, but I'm thinking, why should I have...
Again, it motivated you to lose weight, but he was looking for an excuse not to love you. And at this point, are you going to want to do this dance with this man who... He'll always find something that's not perfect about you, about anybody. And, you know, he's afraid of this love, and really, he cared about you, and you guys have a very strong soulmate connection, but this man is pretty unhealed. Are you aware of that? Hello, I think we lost her. Nicole? Hello? I think we lost her. Nicole, are you there? Hello, Nicole.
Yes.
I think we lost her. She might have been on a cell phone. But anyway, basically...
Oh, okay. I'm sorry
were
about
you
that.
Were you listening to it where, you know, they were hot and heavy, you saw her, she was...
I just popped out of the chat room, Cindy.
And she was heavier when he saw her after 30 years, of course, 45 pounds heavier, and said he was disappointed in the whole bit, and then she lost weight, and she hasn't contacted him then, but... You know, sometimes people look for the game of blemish. You know, they want to find out what's not perfect about us. And I just think in her terms, it was better off for her to find out. I mean, now she's lost her 45 pounds. She's ready for her next soulmate to come because she's, you know, going to knock him off his feet. But,
you know, well, first of all, you know, I hate it when people say things like that. Because you know what? There is no perfect person out there, you know, and... There's just nobody's 100% perfect, you know. But you know what? It doesn't mean that there's not somebody out there that could be perfect for you. And if all you're looking at is the aesthetics of a human being, and you're not really willing to look on the inside of that person, you know, I mean, you're really, really giving up the chance to make a lot of connections because you're too worried, basing you know your opinions on things that fade.
And
you know?
Not only that, with her. They had a soulmate connection 30 years ago, excuse me, and he was brought back to her. And you could tell it was a soulmate because it brought out the best in her and made her motivated to lose 45 pounds. So
oh, absolutely.
He was just a transition soulmate right now, one brought to help her feel better about herself, love
oh,
herself
yeah.
again, and get back, you know, to the woman that she's happy with. So I see she's going to have someone better, but really it's called the game of blemish. Sometimes commitment phobics just look for something that's not perfect enough. And it's always with soulmates, because think about toxic love. You know, the man's throwing
oh,
ass
absolutely.
In your face. He's cheated on you 800 times, and you're still with him. How come you're not playing the game of blemish there? because that kind of love is based on fears of abandonment, and you know, no matter what you do or I do, we stay. So I'm wishing her luck. Yeah. I'm sorry that we got disconnected.
Yes,
but,
I'm very sorry that we got cut off, but you know, if had I been on the air with her, then you know what? I would say that you know, this was a vehicle for her to move forward, you know. I mean, it motivated her to lose, you know, to lose the weight that she had. You know, she's much healthier now. She probably, you know, feels like she looks better now, you know. So it helped get her to a place that she needed to be in mentally. And you know,
and
what? If this is not the guy, then there's going to be somebody else right around that corner that's just going to wait to scoop her up.
Exactly. Now, you said you screened a few other people. I'm not sure
if
you were going
now. Of
course I
did. And actually, we're going to go over to Chris, another Pennsylvania call. I don't know what's going on in PA tonight.
Well, we like PA.
But we're going to go over to Chris in Pennsylvania. Now, she's a friend of Maura from Audi. Cindy?
Oh, terrific. I love Maura.
Okay, and she's actually on the same spiritual program as Maura, and she had a breakthrough last night that was concerning her deceased father, and she thinks that she's a little bit afraid and she might be blocking something, so she needs your insight. So we're going to go over
wonderful.
To Chris over in PA.
Hi,
hello, Chris. You're on the air.
Hi.
Hi, Chris. Are you doing the Holy Spirit program? Is that the one you're doing with Maura? Okay, can you explain a little bit about that to my listeners? Because I found it fascinating when Maura sent me an email about it. So if you can give a little insight.
Okay, basically it's a five-step program. It's basically meditating and extending love and I'll give you like a brief synopsis. Extending love, connecting with Holy Spirit so that you can have a deeper bond, and you actually, through this program, you learn to hear God's voice and speak to God, and God speaks through you.
Wow.
Yeah.
Well, that sounds fascinating. And you've been doing it how long now?
Since October.
Okay, so now you felt like you were able to connect with your dad?
Yes.
Okay.
But I had a meet with Maura this weekend. I had a major breakthrough. And
okay.
And I came to a realization about something when he passed away. And I feel like I hear him, but I'm not. I think what's happening is I'm afraid of the answer.
Okay. And again, if we want to really be on a spiritual path, we have to start praying that we want the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth.
Okay.
It's not easy sometimes. Okay.
That's right.
One of the first steps toward enlightenment is when I finally said, "Look, there's some things, issues I need to face, and you might as well. I'm ready for the whole truth, nothing but the truth. So help me, God." And boy, you know, some ways it was more than I bargained for. But
yeah.
The point is, there's a lot of sort of guilt and sort of mixed feelings surrounding your dad here.
Right.
And he was somewhat of an emotional cripple in life. Are you aware of that?
Yeah.
Did he drink?
No, but his parents did.
Right, because there's alcohol. There's alcoholism in the cards. In other words, he had that personality of an alcoholic, you know, that we learned some dysfunction.
Uh-huh.
He seems to be very much at peace now, and in the laws of karma, he's learned a lot.
Uh-huh.
He wants you to know that you were a good daughter, but he wasn't always the best of fathers. Did you hear that from him?
He wasn't a very what?
He wasn't always the best of fathers. Even though he loved you. Sometimes he could have done some other things better. He feels like, don't make a saint out of him. Are you making a saint out of him?
Yeah.
Don't do that.
I do that.
The dead do not want you to sanctify them.
Okay.
They don't want you to rewrite history. They want
right.
the good, the bad, and the ugly.
Okay.
And in doing that, you know, for instance, both my parents died this year, and my parents were very difficult people.
Mm.
And one of my brothers really didn't speak two words to my father, barely. But the day my father died, he started, like, all of a sudden sanctifying my father. And I thought, boy, that's weird. And then he said to me 2 days later, God, I had a dream, and Daddy was screaming at us in the dream. And I said, about what? He says, I don't know. I said, because Daddy's screaming at you, stop rewriting history. He was crazy sometimes. With my other brother, who came to hate my mother, he has is having a very hard time because he has aches and pains everywhere in his body, and he's not doing well because we always love our parent. The child in us always loves our parent, you know,
right.
even though they may have not been very good. So when I had to deal with both my parents, who I had a lot of mixed feelings for, and it's very hard to bury people we have mixed feelings for, I went to my mother like a four-year-old when she was dying because I felt if I were four and my mom was dying, I would have been devastated. So I put the grown-up woman outside the door and would go and say, hi, Mommy, I love you. Can I have a kiss, Mommy? Can I have a nap with you, Mommy? You're the best Mommy. By the end, she was saying I was a good daughter and she loved me. And I made peace that the child was able to mourn for her mother, but I'm not rewriting history about them. They were not good people most of the time.
Okay.
If we make a saint out of them, we're rewriting history, and the healing that needs to be done will not be done. You can't just rewrite, like my one brother just said, he always hated my mother. That's not the truth. He used to love her. You can't rewrite that they were all bad or they were all good. People are a combination of good, bad, and ugly.
Right.
Do you want to share with us what you thought you heard, or is that too personal?
Well, no. See, the thing is, he had cancer. He had melanoma. He died when I was seven. I was almost seven. So he was very sick. The memory that I have of him that, like, kind of sticks out in my mind is of him falling in the living room. He was when he was
sick
and getting chemo, and me trying to pick him up.
Right, and of course you felt guilty because you were a little girl, and how could you pick up
I'm
a
trying to, and trying to save him.
I
remember him yelling at me, and I think that kind of stuck with me for the rest of my life.
Because your father was a yeller. You know how I told you my father was yelling at my brother in the dream? Your father had a lot of anger issues. And, you know, the wrong response to a child who's loving a dying parent or trying to help with yelling was not the right response, but that's how he dealt with life. Do you know what I'm saying? And if he could do it now, he's why he's saying, you, do you hear what he said to you? If you remember, you were a very good daughter.
Yeah.
I wasn't always a very good father.
Mm.
Now he wants to tell you, a good daughter wanted to help me. But it started a pattern of you being a fixer, a rescuer.
Yeah.
To people who were going to kick you in the face later on.
Right, exactly.
The message came back that it's not our job to fix people, carry their cross, or rescue them.
Yes, I know that. No,
and
that's what I mean. I realized that what you know was going on.
And so your dad came through to say thank you for trying to help me. How brave you were! But you have to understand, he was humiliated. He was ashamed. He's the father. He's supposed to be taking care of you. You're not supposed to be taking care of him. He had a lot of anger issues that he had turned inward, and that festered into cancer. And then when he had the cancer and the chemo, it started to, like, now explode out. Do you know what I mean? He couldn't stuff it down anymore, but you weren't the one he should have yelled at.
Yeah.
And usually when parents die before the age of 13, children tend to make saints out of the parent.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Like, you know, and he's just saying the good, the bad, and the ugly of me. He loves you, and he picked the soul of your first child, who is, what's the name of that child?
Thomas.
Right. Did he do a good job?
Yeah.
Okay, because your dad tried to bring something back in terms of love. He's asking you to just forgive him.
Yeah, I do.
And now you can get in touch with a very loving father. He's very loving. He's very supportive. Ask him for help. He will gladly help you.
Okay.
And
yeah, I don't know, but I have tried to, because I have a long ride home from work, I feel like sometimes I hear him.
Okay, and again, it's the first time in the history of the world, the dead are allowed on Earth about 25 hours a month. He sits and drives with you sometimes and keeps you company.
Oh, okay.
So you can feel him and sense him. And he, when he died, he had a lot of pain about having yelled at a little girl who wanted to help him. You did not do anything wrong, you know, and that's very important that he got to tell you that because, you know, just again, you as a grown-up, have you ever yelled at your child when they were trying to do something helpful?
Yeah.
Okay, we all do it.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? It's just something parents do. And sometimes parents can be insensitive, but your dad was angry about the chemo. It wasn't helping. He didn't even want to do it anymore. He just wanted to be left alone, and he pretty much was angry at the world because he was getting guidance that it was terminal and the chemo was only making it worse.
Yeah.
So he felt like, you know, he just had a lot of anger. You know, I'm so glad you shared that with us. And
thank you.
Just talk with him and laugh with him. He had a very good sense of humor. Did anybody ever tell you about that with him?
Yeah.
In his prime, he was funny as all hell.
Yeah, that's what my grandmother said she loved about him.
He is such a funny man, so expect him to come to you with kind of senses of humor, things to make you laugh.
Mm-hmm.
He was quite a like little trickster and fun person, you know.
Mm-hmm.
That is the person he wants to come to you now as. And, again, he's on his knees asking you for forgiveness.
Mm-hmm.
And that's a good dad right there.
Mm.
And again, I can't stress enough, please don't sanctify the dead. They don't like it.
I know.
It makes them like, no. You know, we've all have our good things, our bad things. And, you know, even when I talk about my parents now, they're often with me and they're very supportive of my work. And they know that when I talk about things they did wrong or how they might have been dysfunctional, it's only to heal. It's not to judge them.
Mm.
Or anything
right.
like that. It's that
right.
they're on a mission to help. You know, I was born into great dysfunction to end it, to understand it, and to teach. And so I think they're pretty happy to have been instruments in that, even if it was a bad instrument, you know?
Yeah, I hear you.
Somebody's got to be the bad cop, the bad guy, you know? So they're okay about it. So, you know, my dad has a great sense of humor. He kind of smiles down at me and laughs. And when it's a situation that he was guilty of the same crimes, he comes into the room and says, tell them about it.
So
I think we can, you know, learn from that the dead are really here to help undo dysfunction.
Yeah.
And get in touch with the beautiful little girl who really felt helpless to help her dad.
That's the part, I have been doing that. It's just connecting with my dad. You know, at times I feel I've been, you know, hearing him, but I think that, you know, I felt like, you know, I wasn't, there was a part of me that might be, you know, afraid, a little afraid of what he may say. That could be it.
He promises he won't yell at you anymore. You know? I said, my brother got yelled at in the dream because my father had to come through. What the hell are you making a saint out of me for? What, are you an idiot? You know? But I thought it was funny how my father came to scream at him. What did he scream about? I don't know. What did daddy ever scream about? Who the hell knows? So enjoy your mission and getting to know the Holy Spirit because the Holy Spirit is always...
I do love it. I love it. I love it. I really do.
Accessible to us, accessible to our healing. And I'm so glad to have met you. And Amora is such a bright light onto the world.
Oh, she is. She's awesome. She is awesome.
I've learned many things from her.
Oh, good. Good.
She's been
awesome,
my teacher as well.
Oh, really?
Yes, of course.
Oh, that's wonderful. Oh, she's so sweet, though. She is awesome.
Well, good luck to you. I think we have time
for
another caller or two, so I want to try to get as many as we can. And thanks for sharing that with us, Chris, and love your dad.
All right, Cindy.
Nicole,
all right,
you're laughing.
So
you know what I'm talking about, huh? You know, with the
I
dead.
I know exactly what you were talking about. And you know what? And I could also sympathize with her as well, because when I first started meditating and doing all these things, I mean, I even discussed it with you, Cindy, like, you know, like sometimes I'm thinking this, and you're like, yeah, that's because they're there. And I'm like, okay. Well, Cindy, sometimes I'm sensing, yeah, that's because they're there too. I'm like, okay. You know, like, it takes a while to get used to that. And I mean, like, correct me if I'm wrong or whatever, but when she thinks that she hears him, it's probably because he's talking.
Right. And they
you
are,
know, and it's always what you're not paying attention to or whatever when you actually can hear on that frequency that the dead, you know, speak to us on.
Right, and they do speak frequently and often, and even sometimes now I'll doubt my own, am I really talking to them? And they'll pretty much say to me, what are you, crazy at this point? How do you doubt it now after, you know, 15 years of talking to dead? Now, who do you think you've been talking to 15 years? You know, it's like, but once in a while when I'm not, when I begin readings now, it's very funny. I'll ask an easy question for them, like, where in Brooklyn did you come from? And it's before they answer it, I go, Marine Park. Like, all of a sudden, that's their way of letting me know, yeah, she came from Marine Park. We just told you that. Now, stop doubting you're talking to us. You know, they'll give me a simple, like, really concrete answer. So sometimes if you want to test it, you can ask them, give me something really concrete that I can, and I sort of put my hand on and sense that it really is here. And they'll do that.
Yeah.
They're pretty cooperative, the dead, you know.
Well, I'm telling you right now, Cindy, that like when like obviously, you know, I'm not as naturally gifted as you are. You know, like, you know, I have to sit and I have to meditate and I have to concentrate and things like that, you know, but I don't know how you do it, because, like, on days where, like, I'm on, it drives me nuts. I don't know how you sit there and listen to these people all day long.
Well, because they actually are very respectful of the dead. They know when they can talk to me and when they can't, pretty much.
Oh, thank God.
And also, remember, I was an entertainer for 35 years. The show must go on. For me, it's just like I turn it on and I turn it off. Do you know what I mean? You know, it's like, okay, the show, curtain's up, the show's on. Curtains down,
that's
shows off, fun. Leave me alone. And they don't
just
talk to you nonstop.
Funny. All right.
Okay, so we are
going to go over to our last call.
Okay.
And our last call is going to be Kathy out in Pennsylvania, yet another Pennsylvanian. And last time she spoke with you, Cindy, you had told her that she was going to be going back to school.
Mm-hmm.
And she has not done so yet. And she'd like to know, when do you see that happening? What do you think she's going to take, and and as far as job-wise, what do you think she's going to do with this newfound education?
Okay, good question.
All right, so we're going over to Kathy. Hello, Kathy, you're on the air.
Hi, Cindy, how you doing?
Good. Kathy, you have, like, this wonderful 15-year period opening up. Pretty much anything you want is yours.
Uh-huh.
The problem is you're sort of second-guessing everything. Like, you're a worrier. Do you know that about yourself?
Yes.
And you almost have paralyzing worry where you say, what if I take this and there's no job? What if I do that? What if I do this? What if this happens? You're asked to take, you know, you have the Chariot, which is a five-year period in which anything you want is yours, but you're going to have to take the first steps forward. Have you applied to schools yet?
No, I've been inquiring about the schools and to collect information. Matter of fact, I was on the phone the other day with a gentleman from, I guess, Phoenix, Arizona.
Okay,
just
good.
Just to get some various ideas of what I want to do.
And how old are you, Kathy?
I'm 51.
Okay, so you want a career that, how much time do you want to spend in school at this point?
I want something that I'm going to be passionate with. So
okay.
Something that I'm going to enjoy.
Okay.
Because I've been working since the age of 13, and I was a hairdresser before. And
okay, but you're tired of that now.
Yes, correct.
Okay, and this is something, what I see is that
I want to be self-sufficient.
Okay, and you have a lot of skills that you can build on already that you've picked up in terms of dealing with people.
Mm-hmm.
There was something you wanted to do when you were younger. Do you remember what that was?
Singing, music.
Okay, and you didn't want to do something with music now?
Oh, I do.
Would you be
something
with music teaching or?
I can't even read a music note, but I know as a young child, I always would sing with my father because my father used to play the trumpet.
Your father passed away, correct?
Yes.
because your dad is the person who came into the room, and he's the one who asked me to ask you what you want to do as a child. Well, if you're going to learn things, couldn't you learn music?
Yeah, I could.
I mean, you know, because it seems like you could even do something as simple as elementary ed, which is like 2 years with music, or you could do something more creative with singing that you wanted to be doing. But your dad is saying, don't forget your music. Did you put that on hold all these years?
Yeah, well, actually, talking about dysfunctional families, but anyway.
No shortage of those.
That's why I enjoy your show, because you're so down to earth.
And it is something that if we all acknowledge we're not all that unique, that dysfunction is something that surrounds all of us. And some of us were born into it because somebody had to be born into it, and somebody's got to end it.
Right.
And for you, your dad feels bad because a lot of your life was very hard.
Yes.
And he acknowledges how hard your life is and was. But what's been channeled to me is that people 50 and over are going to have, like, the most phenomenal second part of their life if they would just follow their passion now and not sell themselves short. Please try to go along the line of music if you, you know.
See, I was thinking of even, because I did go for a voice lesson, and the lady was very nice with me. And she played in New York in opera. And my son is a singer. He sings professionally. And he plays different instruments where I can't read a note, but I could sing in along with the piano or, you know.
I mean, there's many jobs you could do creatively. I mean, I was a children's entertainer for years. I used to sing and dance with the kids. You know what I mean? There's so many things you could do with your music. Do you like children?
Yes, I do. I do.
Because
I have children on my own.
Well, that's why I said you could, you know, think what could you do with children? Could you do children's birthday parties? Could you do, you know, could you sing at weddings with? Could you sing with your son? Could you get in with
a band?
Oh, that's
pretty cool.
Do you know what I'm saying? There's so many things that you could do with singing, and if you want to,
a choir.
That's what sing. First thing you should be doing is going with your church or finding a church that has a beautiful choir. And do your singing there and start singing. Maybe you could even get a job eventually with a choir or something. You just have to take that sort of first step forward.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe take some singing lessons, you know, and, you know, try that before you just go running around, you know, doing something you're not going to want to do.
Okay.
Why not follow your passion? You
See,
know?
I know that, like, I could sing. It's just that I'm very shy when it comes to, you know.
In front of people?
Yeah.
Well, that you might have to learn to become less shy. That's why if you're singing in a choir and you're singing in a group, it's a good way because you're not alone at first.
Right.
So you can, you know, hone your skills and do that. But it's take a step forward with your singing, even to just join a local choir.
Okay.
And that'll start opening some doors to you, too.
Okay.
I mean, don't just, you know, the reason that you don't want to just start a program of education that you're not going to like later on.
That's true.
You know what I mean? It doesn't make any sense because then you're going to have to do the job and not love it.
True.
So try to follow your passion. And your dad, he's laughing because, he, you know, he's thinking dysfunction is way too calm a word. He seems to be using a curse word to explain your family. He's like, he's saying it's all fucked up. You know, your father's a pretty funny man.
Yeah, he is.
You know,
he was,
I'm
too.
Just quoting
he played
him.
A hell of a trumpet.
I'm just quoting your dad. So he's just saying to you, forgive him. He did love you, though. That I think you know.
Yeah, I forgive both my parents.
Okay.
I know that they did their best with what they had.
Right, and that's the word, what they had. And they could have done better.
But I still love them both.
Right, and that's what they're appreciative of that, and that's why it's funny that I would talk about my parents before you would come on, and you know what I'm talking about. The child loves the parent.
Yes.
And if we can get in touch with that, and we usually forgive them because we've become them at some level, somewhere, somehow, even though we swore we never would.
Right.
But your dad is very much at peace. So
he is?
Yes, and he's asking you to follow your passion and that you were the best little girl.
Aww.
You were the best little girl. And, you know, he's crying and great love coming through, you know. What people have to understand is if we have narcissistic parents or parents that hurt us and they can't see, it's not about us. They wouldn't love
right.
Jesus Christ if they gave birth to him. They just weren't capable of loving that way.
Right.
So once we stop taking it personally,
right,
it's a lot easier to get on with life.
Yeah.
You know? But you know, the parents who are the most dysfunctional are the ones who come through with the most love later on. That's the ironic part about it, because once they've been in spirit and they've seen what a good child they had, how we were beacons of light that should have healed them, they want to shine that light back on us and make sure that we become all that we can and that they disempowered us, but no more.
That's awesome.
Well, good luck to you, Kathy. The show is over now, and hoping that you'll call us when you find your way. And thanks so much for calling in, everybody. Nicole, I want you to do your shout-outs because you always have the best shout-outs.
You know what? Tonight I'm just shouting out to all the callers that stayed on the line with us that had wanted to get picked up that unfortunately we couldn't pick up tonight. Guys, please tune in next week, and you know, I'll try to get to all you guys. I know that you guys are very anxious to speak to Cindy. So my shout-out is to our lovely, lovely callers tonight.
And, yes, we have the best callers. And thank you, those of you who are
marking
us as a favorite. We're getting a lot of favorites, you know, that we're a favorite
yeah.
show. So I love that, and, you know, I really, really, really appreciate those people taking the time to mark us as a favorite. And thanks, Nicole, as always, you're the best, and I love you, and have a great
yes,
week, and make lots of
money.
Yes,
don't forget to check out your book, Cindy. Your book
make
is
lots of
doing well. We've got a shout-out to your book.
Oh, Grant Me a Higher Love.
Grant Me a Higher Love. Go check it out, guys.
And, Nicole, make a lot of money and a lot of love.
Oh, I'll try.
Bye.
Bye.